The Hoop Collective is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And don't miss Football Americas, the new soccer debate show where Hercules Gomez and Sebastian Salazar cover the U.S. and Mexican national teams throughout the season. Stream new episodes every Monday and Thursday only on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. The NFL Draft is finally here. Be sure to check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny for the latest insight and analysis on how your favorite team did during the NFL Draft weekend. You can find the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts. Here's something cool coming on Monday. ESPN is doing its first ever Marvel-inspired presentation of an NBA game for the Warriors-Pelicans matchup. The telecast is going to integrate elements from an original Marvel story and include iconic heroes like the Black Panther, Iron Man, Black Widow, and Captain America. There will be 3D virtual effects, custom graphics, and animations. The traditional telecast will be on ESPN. But you're going to want to check out this Marvel version on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. That's at 7:30 Eastern on Monday. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Thursday early afternoon. Joining me from Dallas, Texas, is the one, the only, Band McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
Joining me from Boston, Massachusetts, is Timothy Goodtimes Bontemps.
Hello, guys.
Guys, this morning I was watching a video from Mike Schmitz, our draft expert, where I learned about a guy who's coming in the draft, not this year, but next year, going to be a top lottery pick, probably Serbian, name of Nikola Jovic.
Yes, I saw this. I actually have been following, you know, I follow Schmitz's work, and I noticed that several weeks ago.
So we're going to have Nikola Jokic and Nikola Jovic.
And you are already building your cases against his MVP candidacy in 2028-29.
Do you remember? Maybe it took me days to learn how to say Doncic. So I'm already.
Listen, there's people. The guy's won two rings, and he's however many years in his career, and people still don't know how to pronounce Rajon Rondo's first name. So hey,
that's why they call him Rondo. So here's what the title of this podcast is going to be. With all due respect, because
with all NBA due respect.
We today are going to talk about the All-NBA team. Things go really well when we talk about awards here.
we'll skip over centers pretty quickly.
So there's going to be some difficult situations here in this particular year of All-NBA. There always is. This year is particularly challenging. The guard situation is very challenging. And you know, just because of the injuries, like we've talked about, it's hard to weigh what you do with the injuries. So we're going to offend some people here. Hopefully we won't offend each other too much. So with all due respect, with all due respect is how we're going to start this podcast. So McMahon, you sort of have a certain feelings about this. How do you want to start this off?
So what we'll do is we'll just go from easiest to most difficult in terms of position. And so we'll go centers, then forwards, then guards. And I'm just going to start it off by throwing out what I consider to be the pool of legitimate, serious, absolutely deserve consideration candidates. And center, I mean, honestly, we could put three guys there and that's it. Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert. Those are the three guys who we can argue the order, Jokic, Embiid. We've done that. But those are the three guys who will be all NBA centers. And then, you know, we can honorable mention Clint Capella, Bam Adebayo, if you want to throw in even Jonas Valanciunas or Cat, whatever. But there's three guys that'll be first, second, third team, Jokic, Embiid, Gobert. Can we agree on that and move on?
I have to say, the way the Nuggets have played since Jamal Murray got hurt, I think they're 7-2. Mm-hmm. Is extraordinary. And by the way, it's not just Jamal Murray who's hurt. Will Barton is now out, and Monte Morris, who is Jamal Murray's backup, is out. and they're getting just absolutely breathtaking play from their front court.
Boy, they had a scare last night too when Porter tweaked his ankle.
Yeah. He was that the reason why he let Brandon Ingram drive directly by him on the last second play that set up the block shot? But
probably not, but let's go with that.
Anyway, it's really impressive what the Nuggets are doing with that. And so we don't have to make the decision today, but Jokic's case, both for first team All NBA and the MVP vote, is getting stronger. And I would say that on first team All NBA, I'm undecided. For center, but obviously it's going to be Jokic and Embiid 1-2 and Gobert 3. I mean, Bontemps, I assume you feel the same way. You probably have Jokic locked into first.
Yeah, for sure. I think the missed games thing, as we'll see going through this, I personally think it matters less for All NBA than it does for MVP, because I look at All NBA personally as just the most outstanding at each position. And while at some point you miss too many games to really qualify, as long as you played enough to at least be in the discussion, for me, it's sort of levels out, unless it becomes a real tiebreaker, which we'll get to with a couple guys. But yeah, I mean, like Tim said, center's really easy. I mean, Those three guys are a cut above.
Okay, and you know what? There are years where it's like, who's third team All NBA center? You know, we're picking the 28th best. This ain't one of them. These three guys are definitely three of the 15 most important players in the league.
There was a push for a while to change this away from this format that it's always been to the way it is for All Star with two guards and then three front court players. But with the way the center position has completely turned around over the past several years, now there's. I mean, these three guys have all been awesome, but we are still talking about guys like Bam Adebayo and Carl Towns and other guys that aren't in it that, you know, certainly are really good players at that
spot. The other thing is that Anthony Davis, who has gotten votes at center many times in the past, even though he's not a classic center for the Lakers, he's not really in the game this year. So him not in there being a guy who would take up center votes clarifies this. In addition to the good play. Okay.
So moving on to forwards.
Okay.
And you mentioned AD not in the game. Kevin Durant has not played enough games. He's been spectacular when he's played
26 games as of today. I just don't think it's enough, even though he's been great.
Yeah. You've at least, I would say even in this crazy season, you've at least got to play half the games.
I agree.
With all due respect, no Kevin Durant. So the list of legitimate, serious All-NBA candidates and forwards, and I would say in no particular order, but that'd probably be a lie because I do think I've got these guys somewhat ranked here, is Giannis the Greek Freak, Kawhi Leonard, Julius Randle, LeBron James, Paul George, Zion Williamson, Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Chris Middleton, and I threw Tobias Harris in there just to, kind of give him a shout out. Anybody that I've left out that you guys think should be at least in the pool?
No, I think that covers the group of guys that are in the mix. You know, I mean, maybe if AD goes crazy over the final couple of weeks, maybe he gets into also considered territory, but I don't think he's going to make All-NBA. So I think that's the pool we're looking at, personally.
Yeah, the first six names that you said were the six that I have on my ballot. Now, the debate will be in who goes on what team, I think. It's hard to – LeBron has played 41 games. We just said sort of half was the standard. That's over half, but not by a lot.
Right. And but he'll end up, at 40, mid-40s?
He's played 41, and I assume he will play a couple or try to – I mean, who knows for sure, but considering –
he'll probably end up between 45 and 50.
Considering that the Lakers are potentially facing a play-in situation, I don't think LeBron's going to want his first games to be in elimination-style games. So I would assume he's going to play some. I think it's enough, but I know that that's triggers people, but I think it's enough. And so I think he should be on there, but I don't think he should be first team because it's kind of hard to put a guy on there who's missed 20 plus games is what it's going to be. So
I thought first team was pretty simple. Personally, I have Giannis and Kawhi first team, and Kawhi's played a few more games than LeBron. I think he's at 46 or 47, but I think when he's been healthy, he's been a better player this year too. I know he's been out with a foot thing for a while.
A better player than who?
But he's been than LeBron. I think Kawhi has been unbelievable this year when he's been healthy. I mean, he's shooting. He's like 51, 39, 88 from the field. He's averaging 25, 7, and 5. He's been better on defense. Again, he's played, you know, obviously he's dealing with this foot thing right now, but he started playing back-to-backs again. Like, he played a lot more games this year up until this injury than he had. I think he's been awesome.
I don't want to argue over this, but I think, you know, LeBron was pole position for MVP the way he was before he got hurt.
I agree
with Wendy on that. If we're just looking straight up, how good were they when they were on the floor? LeBron has had an MVP caliber season. I mean, even with all the games he's missed, and not that these are some sort of, you know, perfect stat, but when you look at the real plus minus and the wins added category, he still ranks sixth in the league. LeBron was really good.
I wasn't trying to say that as an insult to LeBron. I had him as my clear
respect.
Second team. I had him as a clear sec. I had him as third guy.
Bontemps, you are the biggest LeBron hater in the media. I mean, you are the guy who put a crown on Kawhi's head at this time last year. It's Kawhi's league. LeBron, who?
I said that Kawhi won, and if LeBron won, he would be the guy again, which he did, and he was.
Real quick, Tim. Bontemps, you have there's some guys who have some contract incentives for making first team All NBA, or not first team, but All NBA. Could you go over those real quick so we can frame this discussion as to why this matters other than just academically?
So there's a few guys that this matters for. So Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, and Joel Embiid all will make All NBA, and all will qualify for the Supermax either this year or next year when they're eligible. In Jokic and Doncic's cases, Luka obviously be the rookie Supermax, but he would get more money.
Yeah. So just to frame that, it would mean that instead of getting 25% of the cap, Luka would qualify for 30% of the cap when he signs his max deal this offseason. And for Embiid and Jokic, similarly to what Giannis signed last year, by being All NBA, they would qualify to be Supermax eligible, which means when they signed their extension, they could get 35% of the cap a couple of years earlier. So it's tens of millions of dollars, especially for Embiid and Jokic.
Yeah, we've seen this with Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns both miss it and miss out on money in the past.
Klay Thompson's a classic case. Yeah.
Yes, Klay Thompson made it and got it. Yeah, there's been a few guys.
Klay just missed it.
Oh, that's right. He did miss it.
Do you remember about Klay was in the middle of an interview during the finals? He was like in between game interview during the finals. And there was like, hey, Klay, the all NBA teams came out. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, you didn't make it. And he was really upset. And I thought he was upset because he had just lost like $30 million or whatever it was. And he was upset because he wanted to be all NBA.
That's right.
It is important. But those three guys.
Zach LaVine also will be Supermax eligible. If he makes an All-NBA team, we'll get to him in the guard section. And then there are four guys on rookie extensions who could see their contracts bump up. Bam Adebayo, who I think we all agree will not make it. Jason Tatum, who we'll probably talk about in a second. And then two guards, Donovan Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, so Tatum and Mitchell are the ones that we'll discuss here because they're the ones who have cases. Oh. So, Giannis and Kawhi have to be on there.
I think Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, and Paul George are my first four guys.
Okay. Julius Randle has to be on there. He's had too good of a season for a team that is the biggest surprise, like middle of a playoff pack team in the league. So
I had those five guys as a clear cut above. They're all making All NBA for sure. And if you want to have LeBron first team or have Julius Randle second team, whatever, I'm fine with any of those. They're all that's not a big deal. But I think those five all clearly are all NBA players this year.
Okay.
One
so
thing I want to, one thing I want to point out about Julius Randle, just because we just talked about this, these multipliers and contracts, Julius Randle is eligible for an extension this offseason. He can extend with the Knicks or he can not extend and become a free agent in the year, whichever. That's a conversation for another day. But he is not Supermax eligible. And the reason he's not is even though he was in the same draft class as Embiid and Zach LaVine, who were taken, you know, right in front and behind of him, and Jokic. The reason he's not is because he has switched teams. And once you switch teams outside your rookie contract, he has done that twice. He has actually already been an unrestricted free agent twice, once signing in New Orleans, once in New York. He is not eligible. So I just want to point that out.
Yep. 24, 10, and 6 for a team smack dab in the middle of the playoff pack and jumping his 3-point percentage all the way up to 42.1.
Yeah, so he's been awesome. He's been really awesome. We,
you know, most improved player canon, all that kind of stuff. So okay, so that's five. Can we agree that the Chris Middleton and Tobias Harris combo will fall in the honorable mentions?
Yeah, the final spot to me is pretty clearly, just like those five guys to me were pretty clear cut above, the final spot is pretty clearly going to come down to who you believe is best among Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, and Zion Williamson. I think that's what the debate is going to be, is who gets that sixth spot.
Right, and none of them have the, oh yeah, let's give them the boost because they're playing for a winner argument this season.
All three of their teams have underachieved. Not because of their fault, but it's, right. You know, they lose that factor in the discussion.
Right. And so, yeah, the Heat and Celtics tied at 33 and 30, trying to squeak their way out of the play-in picture. And I've got to scroll down too far to find the Pelicans record because they've got no chance to be in the play-in tournament. But, and again, this one is a $32 million vote for Jason Tatum. Not that that should impact anybody's decision. It's just
true, but also I don't think in the media we were given this responsibility. I think that you have to, I know that in the past when I've done this, I've considered that.
Yeah.
I've considered it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about Butler I want to point out. As good as Butler was last year, and I think part of what we remember him last year was how amazing he was in the playoffs because he struggled a little bit in the regular season. But as good as Butler was last year, he's been better this year across the board.
Yep.
By the way, he leads the league in steals. He is averaging a full assist more per game, more rebounds per game. He's averaging roughly two more points per game. He's shooting 5% better from the field. You know, he's even shooting better from the line. Like, you know, the standard that he set last year, he's increased it this year. And yeah. I mean, that's, you know, and not that, you know, you know, year over year is important for this award, but it keeps in mind.
Well, especially not this year, though, when, you know, we can go through a whole bunch of guys' stats and they're having career best at this or career best at that. And right. But, you know, the simple fact is this dude is basically putting up 22-7-7, 49% from the floor, two steals per game. Obviously, you know, I think we can all agree he's the best defensive player of the trio. Having said all that, Zion's averaging 27 points and shooting damn near 62% from the floor.
He's playing point forward.
They're all playing point forward, though.
The Heat are almost 11 points per 100 better when Jimmy Butler plays than when he sits.
I know. That's a strong stat.
Jimmy Butler, to me, is the pretty clear choice. And that's no disrespect to Jason Tatum. To me, I it's no disrespect to Tatum or Zion, who both, you know, Tatum's been really good for Boston. You know, it's not his fault. The back of their roster stinks, and they've had a bunch of injury issues. Same with Jaylen Brown, who is also awesome this year. He's taken a huge step forward. It's going to be him, like you said, McMahon. It's going to be him and Julius Randle going back and forth for most improved player. Julius Randle probably gets it, but they've both been great. And Zion has been awesome in his point forward role, and he's been healthy, and he's fun to watch. But I just think of these three guys – Jimmy Butler, I think, is the guy who is the best player and impacts winning the most.
Yeah.
And the main reason that Miami has underachieved is that he's missed 15 games or so.
Yeah.
With, you know, he had COVID, and yeah, I think he had some kind of ankle thing at one point too. And when he's been on the court, they've been far, far better. So that to me, while everything else to me is close, and you can make good arguments either way, that 11 point swing when he's on the court to me is the biggest separator that ultimately is why I had him as the sixth guy on my back.
Yeah, he has played 10 games fewer than Tatum, 11 fewer than Zion. So if you're looking at that, it's close, and games played is a tiebreaker, he would lose that.
Right.
You know, Tatum, I don't have the clutch numbers in front of me, but his clutch numbers this year have been pretty ridiculous. I don't know, man. This is one where I would say I think that we need to wait and see how the last, you know, month or so of the season plays out before casting that vote.
Yeah, and to be clear, if somebody thinks that, like, if you guys think that Tatum or Zion should get that spot, I certainly don't think it's a terrible choice or even a wrong one. I just ultimately, and going through it last night, I just ultimately landed on Butler, as I think he's a step ahead of those guys. But, you know, certainly if either Tatum or Zion gets a third team All-NBA spot this year, I don't think that's going to be any kind of disgrace by any stretch. They've both been awesome.
I have so much respect for the way Zion has had to change his game this year to fit what they needed to do. I don't know how that, you know, how you judge that in the All-NBA race. Tatum, I mean, where would the Celtics be without Tatum this year? I mean, he's carried them so many nights.
He and Jalen have both been awesome, and they're still floundering. I mean, imagine if either one of them weren't there. It would be a complete dumpster fire.
And you know, I can't disregard the $30 million. Like, that, you know, is something I have to consider.
I don't think about that personally.
I have to disregard that. I don't think you can let. Listen,
let me tell you how I
promise
regard
you this. I promise you this. Jason Tatum will be able to pay his bills whether he's All-NBA or not. So don't let that weigh on your conscience.
I realize we're working in the first world here on this basketball podcast. You know, we're not talking to COVID first responders. In my view, I remember feeling this way about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis did not get it, but I put him on my third team that year. And I felt like the tie would go to the runner because I didn't want to nitpick a guy away from $30 million or whatever it was with Anthony Davis. And so if I was really conflicted at the end of this and it was totally dead tied, I would probably go with, I don't want to be the one who stands in the way of Jason Tatum getting paid. But I will say that, you know, I went into one of my, you know, soapbox items on the Embiid Jokic thing was the importance of both ends of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy's impact defensively is just so significant.
Zion's a disaster on defense still. That really can't be said.
And Zion's going to probably make a whole lot of All-NBA teams.
I prefer to say Zion's a good fit for the Pelicans defensively right now.
Well, that's certainly true. I actually, if you ask me how this is going to go, I actually think Zion will get this spot. If you ask me to project, I think he will get the enough votes to get this spot ultimately.
I know. Jimmy did miss more than six games, and you know the voters.
Here comes the MVPT lobbyists.
I'll be very curious to see, but Zion, I think is going to get a lot of votes. I think because of his star power and the way he's played this year. If I had to pick one of these three guys to who I like to try to project who gets it, I think Zion gets it. But my vote, you know, as of today, and to McMahon's point, we still have another 3 weeks left. You know, Jason Tatum could have another stretch where he scores 40 points a game for 3 weeks, and you know, maybe he turns it around at the end. I'm certainly not ruling that out. But as of today, my vote for that final spot would be for Jimmy.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Okay, all right. Okay. So now we get to the nitty-gritty, and this one is rough, folks.
Okay, give me a few minutes just to list all the candidates, because there are a ton of them. Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, Trae Young, Zach LaVine, Mike Conley, Drew Holiday. I'm kind of just going to mention honorable mention types. Anybody I did not mention that you guys think needs to be in the discussion?
I would not have Russell Westbrook on there personally.
Boy.
And I would have De'Aaron Fox on there.
Okay, timeout. Does your TV pick up the Wizards signal since the All-Star break?
Listen, Russell Westbrook has been really good lately. I agree. He's had a fine season. I don't think he hasn't had a fine season.
He's had dude, they've won 9 of 10 and he's putting up triple doubles every single freaking night. Like he's on another historic triple double run for a team that is dug out of this injury induced hole and is playing as well as if you want to
have Russell Westbrook as the 15th guard on the list, that's fine. I did not consider him as part of my list. If you want to have Mondo, that's fine. I don't think he's going to end up. It's not worth arguing about. He's not going to be in the discussion anyway. Ultimately, at least not for me.
That's probably right. Although I do think that Westbrook should be considered.
I would say this.
I don't think we're going to have two Wizards guards on the team, and he's not as good as the other guy. So that's
That's
what my thing is.
If Russ closes the season the way that he's played the last, the last month and change, and the Wizards close the way that they've been playing, I think he's absolutely going to be part of this conversation.
This is a very unexpected turn. I'm not kidding. I honestly did not. I'm not trying to be funny. I honestly didn't think we'd be arguing about whether Russell Westbrook should be considered or not.
This is an interesting thing.
So last year, I remember having to come to the decision between Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal for my last spot. And, everything that Westbrook does in the game, I went with Westbrook. And, he is not on my team right now.
The Wizards, by the way, are still better for the season when Russell Westbrook isn't on the court than when he is on the court.
That's a fair – that's a fair argument, but I also will say, look at the last month when they've,
I'll check over the past bit. And okay. I was not trying to turn this into a Russell Westbrook stinks debate. I'm not saying that. I just didn't have him among the 14 or 15 guys that I was looking at for All NBA. That's all. They've been awesome to watch. He's been much better since the rough start. I think they've got a real shot to win in this play-in tournament, get in the playoffs. Like, I would not want to be playing them if I was one of these teams. I think he's been good, to be totally clear.
I was surprised
to hear his name come up.
I do think he has to continue this role he's on to close the season. The Wizards have to continue to be a guy who's going to be voted.
I mean, are you really going to potentially put him on there over Bradley Beal?
Dude, I like people get all snobby about triple doubles. I'm sorry, but when a dude, they're 11-2 in their last 13. He's averaging 21, 14, and 13. I'm impressed. I mean, I'm sorry. That's impressive to me.
Oh, I'm not, I'm not trying to say that he's been bad. He's been really good. He's not the best player on his team. So I'm not going to put him on there over Bradley Beal personally. That's why I'm surprised we're having this discussion, to be totally honest.
And the simple fact is neither of them might make it because, okay, I'm going to cut Holiday, Conley, LaVine, Trae Young, and Kyrie. Okay, Kyrie. Okay,
Kyrie's a tough one, man.
It is a tough one.
I think Kyrie has a better case than Westbrook does.
I do too.
Okay. Let's work it the other way then. Steph has to be on there, right?
Steph's on my first team. I had Steph and Luka
first team with a bullet. I think those guys are a step above.
Steph and Luka, you said.
Yeah, I had Steph and Luka first team.
Damian Lillard has to be on there.
Chris Paul on first team. Second team.
Okay. No. That's a separate debate. I'm saying Steph, Luka, Dame, CP. Sounds like we've all got them as first and second team, and whatever.
Yeah. My point
is we've got those four on there.
Yeah.
Two guys left. Okay. The Jazz have the best record in the league.
Yeah.
The Suns might end up with the best record in the league. The best record in the East is the Nets. We've got four candidates from those three teams. I mean, geez.
I had as of today, and this is very fluid and could change, I had Bradley Beal and James Harden as my 13 guards.
So no Donovan Mitchell, no Devin Booker. That's tough.
I didn't have Devin Booker. I would have Devin Booker a step below. As good as he's been, I'm going to give Chris Paul the nod there in terms of having a son on the team. I think he's made a massive difference for that franchise. There's a reason they went from not making the playoffs since 2010 to being maybe having the best record in the league. I think, you know, the young guys have gotten better, but I'm going to give Chris the credit for that. And James Harden was absolutely incredible when he was on the court for Brooklyn. I mean, he was one of the three best players in the league.
He was absolutely awful when he was on the court for the Rockets. All part of the same season. We are evaluating the 2020-21 season. He's missed a lot of time. The exit and the ugliness leading up to it, and ugliness on and off the floor leading up to it in Houston, I think is part of the consideration here.
I totally understand if somebody doesn't have him on there, and I may not in 3 weeks, because if he doesn't, I mean, it doesn't seem like he might play a couple games, but it seems like he's out for a while. And if he ends up at 42, 43 games, that could be tough. But the 35 games or so he played with Brooklyn, he was arguably the best player in the league. And I understand the injuries.
He was in the top three in my MVP ballot when we did the Bond Temps poll.
I understand the injuries, and I understand the stuff with Houston, and I have absolutely no issue if one of these other guys is on there ahead of him. And I may change my mind between now and then if he doesn't play again and these other guys keep being awesome. Because, again, this is – the forward line kind of dipped a bit towards the end. There's a ton of guards that have a real case here. I don't know if you mentioned Jaylen Brown. Now that I think about your list,
Didn't. Okay, if we want to mention him, we can throw him with Conley and
I mean, I would have him. He's another guy that I would have over Westbrook personally. Based off the year he's had from start to finish. I don't think he's.
I agree that Jaylen Brown has been a better player since December 23rd than Westbrook, but in this last 6 weeks. I mean, Westbrook is.
Wizards are still getting outscored since the All-Star break when Westbrook's on the court. So,
Your point. I'm not disregarding you. I'm listening to you.
I did not mean to turn this into me bashing Russell Westbrook. I want to repeat that. I did not think he was going to come up. Honestly,
but dude, there's going to be Westbrook is going to be on ballots
for sure. No question. He's going to be. I don't think there's any argument with that.
This challenge is what this is. And, you know,
well, I,
Levine's got a lot of money at stake here, but his injury probably knocks him out.
Yeah, I think he's been out because of COVID protocols. Yeah. I don't think he's good. Plus, you know, Chicago's falling off a cliff. I think it's going to be hard for him. I hijack things a bit though. Who do you guys currently have as your 13 guards?
Okay, hold on though.
On the other four.
I do want to circle back real quick to Devin Booker. And I am by no means trying to take any credit away from Chris Paul. You know, again, yep. I think Chris Paul is absolutely one of the, you know, he's one of the our locks. There's four guys we've got as all NBA locks, and as far as guards, he deserves a ton of credit. But it's not like Chris Paul took, you know, chicken bleep and made chicken salad. This is momentum that is carrying over. You know, Devin, this is stuff that's carrying over from their undefeated run in the bubble. And as great as Chris Paul has been, you look at the on-off numbers for the Suns. It's very close. It's not a drastic difference. But Devin Booker, there's a slightly bigger drop-off when Booker's off the floor. And the numbers actually are slightly in Devin Booker's favor in terms of on-off impact. So my point is just like if we're going to give Chris Paul this big winner bump, then, you know, man, we've got to really strongly look at Devin Booker, who is their leading scorer by a wide margin, who, you know, who's done it efficiently, I feel like at some point the argument is going to come down to if we want to call Harden a fifth lock, and I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't say that either. I think Bradley Beal should be on the team as of now. I think he's been awesome this season, and for a lot of this season, especially at the beginning when Westbrook was not playing well and was in and out of the lineup a bit. I mean, Bradley Beal had, you know, 60 points on Philly in a game they lost. He had 50 points in a game here in Boston that they lost.
Well, he's leading the league in scoring.
Right. I mean, he's been incredible this year. And I think, like, I understand you guys. Like, I get the credit Westbrook's getting for the way they've played lately, but Beal's been awesome from start to finish. So, like I said, if you're going to have a Wizards guard on there, to me, it very clearly has to be Beal. And at least to me, and I totally get where you're coming from with Devin Booker. Again, if somebody has him on, if you have him on your all NBA team, if somebody else does, I'm totally fine with that. I think he's going to have an awesome playoffs. I'm really excited to see what the Suns team can do. I just personally, I think if I'm picking between those two guys, I'm going to pick Chris. And I think it's hard for me, given the amount of guys that are involved here, to have two Suns on the team. So if I'm going to pick one way, I'm going to lean with Chris.
Was it LeBron who spoke up for Booker?
Yeah, most underrated player.
Yeah,
it's a lot of guys.
One of the things that's remarkable about Booker, and this seems, you know, I don't have rock solid examples right now, so I'm just sort of going off my feel for it. But it feels like a lot of times when you have to choose seven guys, Booker's the eighth. We want to choose six.
He's sort of the new Damian Lillard.
You're right.
He's been on the edge of a couple discussions, and, like, you know, he's been an injury replacement the last years in the All-Star game. I thought he should have been an All-Star both times. I mean, he has sort of kind of graduated to that point. But look, like, again, Donovan Mitchell has been awesome. Like, he's got a shot. I think if I drop James Harden, the guy I'd probably put in is Kyrie Irving, who has been really good for Brooklyn, has played more than, like, if you would have guessed he was going to play the most games of James Harden and Kevin Durant this year, you would not have put very high odds on that happening. He's been really good when they've played. They've had a million injuries. They've got a chance to be the best record in the East. And, you know, he's been the one guy who's been generally healthy and available. So, like, I think he's got a really strong case. So, like, you know,
he was willing to alter his game when, you know, I've talked about this over and over, but it's no small fact. When Harden arrived, Kyrie altered his game. Now, he hasn't had to play with Harden recently, so it's been sort of back to the old Kyrie-centric game. But, how do you not have a net?
Well, by altered his game, it was let me just focus on scoring. But, yeah, I mean, he gave up control of the offense. That's fair.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't – I don't have an answer for these two. Like I don't. I have
to. You guys, if we agree on the first four, which I think we do, whatever order, if we think they're all, it seems like we all agree on Steph, Luka, Dame, and Chris Paul right now, you know, as being on those teams. Who are the other two guys you guys have right now?
I'm not 100% sure that I'm putting Chris Paul on second team.
If you have him among your six guys,
yes,
like we all agree they're among our six. So I had Beal and Harden as of today. Who did you guys have as the other two guys?
So I got Donovan Mitchell on my list here. He doesn't have the vote, but I mean, the Jazz, by the way, just as a real quick aside, do you realize what the Jazz did to the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday night?
Oh, God.
You know, it happened. You know, there was a couple other interesting games.
By the way, without either of their all-star guards, which is the most embarrassing thing about it for the Kings.
Just because, you know.
I woke up and saw the score, and I actually gasped when I saw it.
Yeah.
I did not stay up to watch the end of Jazz Kings.
Well, right. But, I mean, it was, you know, there was also this Suns-Clippers game going on. So if you had, you know, that's where any casual fan's eyes would have been. They put up 154.
Bond temps.
The Jazz put up 154 on the Kings. They shut 60.
Offensive rating of 152. You don't see that every day.
They shot 64% as a team. And I read the coverage of the game. It was all-time record for Jazz scoring. They had 24 threes in the game.
By the way, Donovan Mitchell didn't even play in the game.
Conley.
Right. All right, or Conley.
They had neither of their all-star guards.
I was just looking at the box score, and they went 24 for 41 from three. That's some Cavs-Hawks level three-point shooting.
I was reading the coverage of the game this morning, and it was kind of interesting on both sides, both the Sacramento side and the Utah side. Because the Jazz have just made shots all year long and put up points all year long, and because the Kings have historically one of the worst defenses of all time, the coverage was relatively non-breathless. In other words, it was a pretty good game, you know, for the Jazz, you know.
It was breathy coverage.
46-17 second quarter. That's pretty rough. Pretty rough for the home team.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So Donovan Mitchell has been, obviously, I think Gobert is so important to them. Would you say that Gobert is their MVP?
Yes.
And
people never, I would say yes. And what's funny is people keep wanting to make a case for Devin Booker's MVP and a case for Donovan Mitchell's MVP. And I'm like, you guys have the wrong candidates on both teams.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. So we have the same Conley situation. And Conley
has arguably been, you know, Conley's arguably been as good or better than Mitchell too. And that's no disrespect to Mitchell. Conley's been awesome.
I'll say this.
Certainly hasn't been Devin Mitchell or Donovan Mitchell.
I will say this.
When they had over the second half.
When they had two straight duds against the Timberwolves, who, you know what, the lowly Timberwolves, but also the playing pretty, you know, much, much better over the last month Timberwolves.
Timberwolves have swept the Utah Jazz this year. But when they had
back-to-back offensive duds against the Timberwolves, they certainly could have used Donovan Mitchell's ability to create on his own in those games.
No question.
When you're playing the Kings, whatever. Well, by the way, the Kings, the team that the Mavericks can't beat.
Right. I will say hats off to Chris Finch, because as you guys know, I thought it was the most challenging coaching job I've ever seen in my years covering the league that he took over. And they've actually, and now they've gotten healthier, so that's certainly helped. But they've actually gotten a modicum of traction going down the stretch here.
Oh, he's done a nice job putting Towns in good positions. He's got Anthony Edwards playing better. I mean, it's they've taken steps forward. Yeah.
So we're kind of in the same boat with Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker, which is that we've got all NBA guys filling other slots, and it's, we recognize how good they are, but it's.
I would have Kyrie ahead of both of them personally. I think.
Would you have Kyrie or Harden?
I think if Harden doesn't play the rest of the season and the Nets continue the way they've played and Kyrie's there, even if they don't get the one seed, I could see myself flip flopping Kyrie and Harden. Kyrie's been really impressive this year. He's been really, like I said, I never would have guessed he'd been the most available of those guys. He's been, you know, obviously he had the issues early in the season in terms of, you know, not being around for a bit, but you look at the way this team has played. If you said in early February that James Harden was going to miss 2 months and Kevin Durant was going to basically miss 3 months and they had a shot to be the one seed, I don't think anybody would have believed you. And I think Kyrie, you know, Steve Nash deserves a ton of credit for that. And I think Kyrie deserves a ton of credit for that. He's been, you know, generally available and really, really good. So I think that's sort of my final spot right now is between those two guys.
Well, we can also get Bruce Brown in this mix here. Can we discuss his candidacy?
By the way, so Ben Simmons isn't anywhere on the list? No chance?
No. I would say he probably
is another of these guys that, you know, I think it's fair to say he deserves to be thrown in the mix, but he's sort of like Tobias also. Those guys have both been very good. Ben Simmons is another guy having the same kind of realm as Russell Westbrook. They've had really good years. You know, Jaylen Brown, De'Aaron Fox, Drew Holiday, like all those guys Tim mentioned, they've all been really good, but I don't think they quite, you know, I don't think they're going to be guys that I'm going to be trying to decide for the final spot when it comes down to it.
If Harden doesn't play again, I do think the fact that he played only 42 games, 8 of those were in Houston, which are, you know, aside from the opener, is a stint that should be used or should be held against him in terms of if it's close tiebreaker type of thing.
Yeah.
He was great for 34 games in Brooklyn, but I don't know. 34 games does not make an All-NBA campaign in a loaded field.
And that's why I said as of today, because I do think he was demonstrably better than basically all these guys. But if he only ends up playing 42 games, like that's pretty close to that line where it's just not enough to make the list. Again, when we're talking about, you know, some big time performances and candidates here to choose from.
All right, well, we got to wrap up, but with one last thing I was going to say, who do you think it matters of these guys?
Donovan. He's got $32 million riding on it.
Well, I agree. That goes without saying. Who do you think it matters most to? Like, I think it matters a lot to Bradley Beal, a guy who was frustrated that he didn't get All-Star and All-NBA last year. I think, and his wife was frustrated.
If you remove the obvious contractual component, it matters the most to Beal. For sure. When you look at, you know, last year he didn't make the All-Star team. I thought he should have made the All-Star team. He didn't make All-NBA. I thought he should have made All-NBA. And he was, like you said, he was vocally frustrated about that. His, you know, like you said, his wife was. And he's been even better this year. Like, I think he's been really, really awesome. And
I'm not sure. Has Kyrie ever made an All-NBA team?
Yeah, he's made at least a couple. He made one with the Celtics.
Two-time All-NBA.
I knew he made one with the Celtics, so that he made one with Cleveland. But I think of those guys, I think it means the most to Bradley Beal, outside of the obvious stuff like Tim said with Zach and with Donovan Mitchell.
The thing about this is that All-NBA doesn't get the debates that Rookie of the Year, MVP, Coach of the Year, even like sixth man sometimes get, but this is the hardest thing that we do. Number one, because a lot of times there is money at stake and it does matter to the players and we have to roll up our sleeves and really dig into this. And when you look at the ballots, that come in for this award, and all of the media ballots are made public. You know, I don't know why you would, but you could go digging into them. There's some stuff that's all over the board here.
People do.
There's some stuff that's all over the board.
I also really like this. I also really enjoy doing the All-NBA teams every year because, to me, like I said at the beginning, I look at this as who's the most outstanding in the league this year. And if you go back through the history of the league and look at it, I think it's the best gauge of who the best players were each year and over, you know, a block of years. Like if you look at a guy who made, you know, four All-NBAs in 5 years, like that guy was a really good player for a good stretch of time, right? So like I really enjoy this process of sitting down and looking at it. Like when the man came up with this idea, you know, I sat down to look at it last night, and it's a really fun thought exercise to go through and try to figure
like
out
people
where guys are at.
I don't think this is really that much of a debate, but there are people who've pushed back on like Chris Bosh being a Hall of Famer. Chris Bosh made 10 All-NBA teams, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
All-NBA teams are far more valuable for that kind of stuff than All-Star teams. Like I think this is a – like the if you make 7, 8, 9, 10 All-NBA teams, like you had an incredible career.
Right. There's 24 All-Star spots, sometimes more because of injury replacements. There's 15. It's a scarcity thing.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, McMahon. Thank you, Bontemps. Thank you to Tony, our producer. With all due respect, hope everybody has a good weekend. We will talk to you next week.
Adios, amigos.
Now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.